Please welcome Sebastian Ritterbusch. He's a professor on the University of Mannheim. He is doing podcasts on topic of mathematics called Modellansatz. And today he will be presenting issues with respect to routing for humans. The stage is yours.
Thank you, Simon. Hello. It's an honor for me to be able to speak here at the State of the Math here in Heidelberg, and I'm not at the Mannheim University, but the cooperative state university in Mannheim, in German DHBW. And I'm here for Routago, and if you look into your program, it says IX point information systems. Yes, that's also correct, but the company decided to, newly found this new company Routago, to emphasize that they really want to go further in human routing and provide solutions to this. So that's why it says Routago over there. That's even more current than what was said before. So I'm going to talk about routing for humans. And first, I would like to introduce why this is an important topic. Obviously, most of you here are not born in a car or born on a bicycle. So the main way how we are moving on streets is obviously on the side of the street. That's what we tell our children, because it's more safer to do. And also, if we want them to cross the street, they should do this at traffic lights. Well, that's obvious. But if you look at the currently available solutions, they usually tell us to walk in the middle of the road, as if there were no cars. And this, of course, doesn't really make sense if we want to show where pedestrians should walk and also decide which way to go. Because if you're the one or the other side, it might be a completely different path you should take to get to your goal. And that's why we would like to use the OSM data for scalable and robust routing that really uses the available annotations that are there but have not been really used that well so far. Because the OSM not only has the largest footpath network, but it also has the largest footpath network that isn't really used, because most of the footpaths are annotated with sidewalk equal to yes or left or right or both. And as these are not separate paths, most of the routing solutions are not using it, like Graphhopper. You have to change the routing graph before you can really use it. First of all, I would like to say, why did I get into this topic before? Because probably you haven't heard of me before concerning routing. So I coordinated the Terrain Project, which is a federally, well, was a federally funded project by the Federal Ministry for Education and Research in Germany. It was a joint research effort of the Karlsruhe Institute of Technology, as well as the two companies, IXPoint and Papenmeier. And the idea was to support independent urban mobility of people with low vision or blindness. There is a saying, many no longer feel confident leaving their homes because they don't know what obstacles they encounter outside. So what were we planning to do? First of all, we had a group working on computer vision. They tried to identify where there are traffic lights, where is a crossing, if there are cars in the way or bicycles. Another group worked on system evaluation. What methods are there? What devices can we use? What watches? What vibration belts? Another group worked on innovative braille support and braille devices. Then, of course, we had some experts working on human-computer interaction, because having data or having sensor input and not being able to tell the person who is blind wouldn't work at all. So we're also looking on how we best tell the persons which way to go or where there are obstacles. And then, of course, there was the roadside-aware safe routing, which we looked into this, and that's how I got involved into all this. And then we also had a group working together with citizens, how they might react if someone walks around with a camera or even having more knowledge on the surrounding by use of maps than other persons. generally, they were very open and really liked the idea. So in the end, everything should work as a solution on a smartphone, because that's the supercomputer we're wearing with us all the time. So that's the best tool we can use to provide help for people with blindness or low vision. So what is the state of pedestrian routing? And as a first example, I would like to show you how a current solution, I just tried this last week, what path is provided by a current solution going from the company to my home. And there you see, well, it uses the same data it uses for car routing. And again, the path it provides are centered on roads. But some paths are even quite dangerous. For instance, it goes directly into a tunnel. I can assure you, pedestrians are not allowed in there. And I would never go even close, because there's no space for pedestrians. They're forbidden there. And it's really, really dangerous. So you cannot rely on such solutions, which is, by the way, it's the Apple routing, to give you insight where to go. And also, it doesn't give you any instructions, and I don't even want to start about where to cross. So it's not really helping, although it's the best thing we have so far. And blind people love to use the Apple routing or the Google routing, where in this case, Google would have sent me over a hiking trail, which is wonderfully nice. And I love to take this road, but it's not really a safe path, and I wouldn't use it to go there. So let's look at a proper benchmark problem. This is in Karlsruhe. I compared what routes are proposed by Google and Apple Maps, and of course, the Open Road Service, which relies on Grasshopper and OSM. So first of all, Google and Apple Maps, this solution, well, it's centered on the roads. It doesn't even think about where to cross roads. Yes. Generally, it's okay if you are able to find out where to go and you feel quite confident walking in the streets. By the way, blind persons do orientation and mobility training. They are quite well walking around in cities, but actually, I think we can do much better. The Open Road Service does it much better. It even knows where there's traffic lights. But as you look closely, you see, just at the point where there is a traffic light, it doesn't cross the street. It proposes, from then on, please walk on the middle on the road and go where you want to go. And, well, it doesn't really help as well. But the reason is, it just uses what's there. Before, there was a separate path. It uses it very well, but from then on, well, it can't do anything anymore. So what solutions are there? And there's an obvious solution, micromapping. And as an example for micromapping, I would like to talk about the Open Sidewalks or Access Map project, where there were millions put into in the US to extend the road network to having pedestrian path as a first class citizen in the open street map. And if you look into these maps, you see really all pedestrian sidewalks laid out separately with a lot of data, with all curbs, everything in there. They combined a lot of different data sources, used a lot of computing resources to put all the information in there that's available. Wonderful, great. And you can use just traditional routers to get the best results. But there are some problems with that. First of all, maintainability. Who is going to fix something if there is a construction or anything? You have to connect all the dots. It's a problem with micromapping. There's so many things you can do wrong where you lose the connection and suddenly you get weird results in routing. These are things that are very troublesome. And the other part is, well, this map you see there, if you just scroll it a few meters up, about 500 meters, suddenly there's a suburb or part of the city where they just didn't put data in. Suddenly there's no path anymore. So if you use a traditional router, you're back to the old setting. It doesn't really know where to cross. And actually, I think we can do much better. Another approach was done by Schmitz-Ertl. They did exactly what I mentioned before. Why don't we extend the OpenStreetMap programmatically to create a path network where our traditional routers can find the best way, because we have the sidewalk tags. We know it's written there. We know there is on the right or left side, there's a sidewalk. Why don't we extend the path there? That's what they did. They did a geometric extrapolation from the roads to the sidewalks where they should be, either on both sides or right or left. Then they also added orthogonal additional path at crossings. Then they created a lot of new nodes. They connected the buildings. It's wonderful. It works exactly as we expected. Could be a wonderful solution for us. The problem is why you don't see it widely spread. You have to do this transformation in the very beginning on all data, because they do this geometric approach and you don't know where do the line segments meet each other. And so that's a bit troublesome. And also they have to add, at least at their current algorithm, an individual cost function at transform time. So this means if you want to have another mode of human locomotion, you have to do all the things again. So that's probably why it hasn't been used so widely spread. So what we are proposing, what we did, is what we call the transparent expansion, which I would like to illustrate you on an example also in Karlsruhe. That's the Rudolfplatz. It's a place where trams, where cars, and of course pedestrians meet. And there you, on the one hand, have explicit pedestrian path in green on the left side, but you also have the information there is a sidewalk on the Rondellplatz, of course only on the outside, not on the inside. And it's an example where all different methods meet. We have this micro mapping because we have explicit path, then we have the sidewalk tag and so on, and we would like to get everything in there and be able to do some routing on that, but do it in a way that we don't have to transform the whole world before. So what we are starting with is taking the OSM nodes where all the different lines meet and realize if there is a connection of different roads meeting there, then in this case three, we create three virtual new nodes. Actually, I drew them a bit apart from the original node, but this is not necessary. At this point, we're just talking about the are other nodes, maybe very close to the original node, because we don't care where it exactly is, because we're only talking about connectability. Then we connect these new virtual nodes also with the original node, because you might be starting or ending at the original nodes, and then do we do the same to the outside as well, which is still quite locally. We also generate the virtual nodes there. An important part here is we didn't do anything globally. If we are at a certain point, at this specific point in Karlsruhe, if we want to know what nodes are around for pedestrians, we don't have to look over the whole world and do all different geometric computations there, but just work locally in a topological way and create the new nodes. If we then really want to route there, then we think about where is the best place to put the virtual nodes. But that's just the second part, which we can also solve locally. So the lookup is just locally, and that's why we can do this expansion transparently on live OSM data. And that's the difference to the approach before, and why we can directly deliver this and use it everywhere. So what we have now is paths is a detailed roadside-aware pedestrian routing. We have this virtual path network with all the roadsides and crossings, and we include all the information that was in the OSM before and additional information about which path we are following along and which path we are crossing. So we suddenly have more information we can put into our decision which way to choose. So the routing itself, the weights are getting much more complicated because we have so much more to choose from. Suddenly there's more information and which we can use to provide safe routing, wheelchair routing, or whatever you can think of. Of course, in the beginning, we worked on routing for blind persons, but of course it extends for more. So Just looking at the benchmark problem before, which was here solved with A star, we will use the more efficient landmark routing soon. You see that the sidewalks were used and the solution identified like before, as it is in OpenStreetMap, the traffic lights, but then it not continues on the road, but uses the sidewalk information before. Before we had explicit path, we walked over the traffic lights and then used the sidewalk. Of course, it depends on the quality, but what we will try to achieve is to get the best out of the data we have. So, it's not just theory, you can try it for yourself. If you go to the website rutago/pedestrian-routing, you can just you get a leaflet map, you can click on one point, and then click on another point, and you get the path that is computed by the system. Sorry, it's limited at the moment for Germany, Austria, and Switzerland. It's just it's what the Great Geofabrik gives us in a great bundle. But it's, of course, not limited to that. So we tried it on the various other places, and that's really what we would like to do, to extend it to more places. And that's something we will do. But so far, I talked about a technical solution, but actually, if we want to do routing for humans, we have to go even further, because there is just not only one pedestrian routing. There's hiking, there are wheelchairs, there are blind pedestrians, there are the young ones, the elder ones. We have various modes of e-mobility and also multimodal transportation. And all of these different methods have all their distinct needs. They have regional regulation, laws, and habits. And also, the mapping quality, it's different at all different places and all for all the different modes. So, for instance, I'm so jealous of the bicycles that have explicit paths. Well, it's something we humans with legs or wheelchair, we don't have this so often. It's mostly more annotation-based. And so, how can we cope with that? So, the traditional approach is to create a program weighting, a programmatic approach for each of these modes. And that's why there aren't that many. So we talk with experts. Where should humans walk or blind persons walk? We create a model out of this and create a white box interpretation of this expert knowledge. But this also means we have we're making assumptions on the representation in the OpenStreetMap. And that's why a lot of different approaches before that had solutions for blind people routing said, okay, you have to change the OpenStreetMap completely. Do all these tags in there that we need so we get the best result. That won't work. It's only a regional solution. Just as, you know, micromapping also only works if you have a group that really wants to support this and do this everywhere. But we need a solution for humans that live everywhere. So that's quite difficult. I won't tell you how you should map. You try to get the best what you have there. So the problem is either it's quite general or really difficult to update and keep it to the state we have. So that's why I'm proposing that we put in statistical weights based on this annotation combinations we have. And this way, we can directly base on the expert knowledge in terms of proposed routes that are given to us and we use as a learning database. We are not going to interpret or try to model the OSM to our needs, but we will try to identify what's the best way of finding routes that, on the one hand, fit what the experts say, on the other hand, works with the OpenStreetMap. We use an automatic and robust pattern recognition, well, it's machine learning, and try to exploit the mapping reality. Because there's one hand, how everyone wants you to do the mapping, and the other one, how it's being done. And that there are regional differences, we have to face that, and we try to get the best of it so it works everywhere. So if there are updates to maps or the OSM gets more accurate and more detailed, we try to cope with it by nightly relearning, and most important, as there is no human programming this all the time, it's scalable to different kinds of locomotion, because if there's an interest group providing examples where to route and how to route, we can start the learning and find a way to cope with that and get the results people need. And of course, we would like to use and we will use additional databases like the great accessibility cloud of Sozialhelden, which provides us with more information, especially for people with blindness or impairment with walking. So, my closing remarks. First of all, what you've seen before, the solution supporting blind persons in their independent mobility, this is something that will be out there soon. We will have the roadside aware routing as well as points of interest in the surrounding and computer vision to tell them where there are obstacles. But furthermore, so if you want to see it, just get to me after the talk. I can give you a live demonstration of it, how it looks like right now. But overall, and what's most important here from the state of the mat, we show that it is feasible to provide routing for true locomotion, human locomotion, and also for various modes, and that we are robust with respect to various data quality, if there's micromapping or just a very general or even no sidewalk information at all, because humans should walk on the side of the roads. It's scalable, and we also try to cope with mapping fallacies or contradictions. For example, the famous bundling problem is something that's really tedious for us to solve. And also, I would like to recommend to you to see the talk by Marcus Lucas Smith. Is the OSM data model creaking? He really hits the nail on the head. What is going wrong? And of course, if you would like to do pedestrian routing better, have a look at the OSM wiki about the guidelines for best pedestrian navigation. And later on the talk about pedestrian routing in complex areas. So the idea is we would like to get the best out of OpenStreetMap for pedestrian routing, and I would like to do this with you, and I'm open for your questions.
Sebastian, thank you so much for your detailed insights. Do we have questions? Over there.
Thank you very much for the talk. I have a question about the routing expansion you explained. So my question is, does this go into the computation of the best route already, or you are just compute the best route in the traditional way and then say, okay, I want to find actually the description of the route and give there the best pedestrian solution?
Thank you for your question. If I understood it correctly, the question was if already the construction, the expansion already is about routing itself. And I can tell you, it's a great question. No, we are not doing this. We're including all paths, may they be reasonable or not. And that's also a difference to the approaches before, because we want to have the new network we are creating independent of the mode of travel you're deciding to use. We think the point where you should put all the decision, which path to take or not, depending on a condition, should be the waiting. So if there's a path that doesn't make sense, it gets horribly expensive, so no one will ever go there. But the path is created before, independent of which mode of travel you would like to use. And in the waiting itself, later on, it's decided then whether it makes sense or not. So there's, of course, more to decide on. But if you use the algorithm with heuristics, it doesn't really take you more effort to have them in there, apart from RAM usage, because it won't take these ways because they are just too expensive. Up here.
We have time for one more question, but there are five, so probably we have to offset a few of them later on. I think you were first over there.
Thank you very much. I think the dynamic approach is very innovative. But what I was wondering, when you compared the different pedestrian route services, you are looking into pedestrian mode only. Is this true? Because the Open Route Service already has a wheelchair route profile that does this extension, as you said, in the pre-processing step, which means that you're right, that it needs a lot of additional data to be stored in main memory. For that reason, the current version is available only for all of Europe, but actually it depends only on the computer resources to do so. The main problem is more the missing data, and how clever you generate these additional geometries. And we have not published it, but it's been done in the background that this data that is used in the about sidewalks and so on is being used also for this wheelchair. But then the comparison, so to say, needs probably a slight adaptation because the crossing of roads and so on is already possible with that approach, but as I mentioned, with that disadvantage that you need to pre-process it in beforehand.
Yes, thank you very much for the note. You're absolutely right. The Open Route Service also has a mode to provide pedestrian routing just as we have shown here, but it's not available on the website right away. You have to activate the mode and also restrict it in the space. And the point I wanted to make is what is available right now? Because I also mentioned the other solutions and the what other scientists worked on before. These ideas work. But if they are not available, there's a problem with them. In this case, there's not a problem with them. You could enable it at any time. But we would like to also think about how do we have to do the waiting. And especially just for the blind, it's continuously we have to adapt this and work on that. So this expansion is just the first step. How to use it most efficiently, that's the next problem we are on, because we always find new places where the routing is not that great, where we have to change the weights, if it's possible at all on the data model. And so what we're aiming at is a solution that's available right now, in the first step, of course, for the blind persons using the app, but also go further and research. And of course, we would like to do this with you together, so we already had quite some great discussions. How to bring this topic further and support people that really need this data most.
Since we're running out of time, please find Sebastian out in the coffee break to ask further questions. And to close, please give him a warm round of applause.
Thank you very much.